ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In fact, Paul in Romans says in Romans 8, verses 22 and 23, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." All of creation was, like I said, subject to the sin of Adam and its devastating effects. But God became man, flesh and blood, with the sole purpose of redeeming man and restoring creation to its original way. In Romans 5, verses 12 through 21, Paul speaks of this. He said, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Jesus Christ purchased us back. He redeemed us from sin, and one day he's coming back to restore this world to the way it was in the beginning. I truly believe the title deed of the earth was given to Satan when Adam sinned. I believe Adam had the title deed to the earth. He was to oversee the earth, all of creation. But when he sinned, the title deed was turned over to Satan. I think it's interesting when the seal judgments come, it's like the title deed. And who's worthy to open these seals? And John doesn't see anyone who's worthy. And he begins to weep uncontrollably. And what happens? "Look, behold, the lion from the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the seals, to loosen the scroll." He's taken back this earth, and one day he's going to establish his kingdom here on this earth. We look forward to that, you know. In fact, we're going to rule and reign with him in the kingdom age. It's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. In Revelation 1, verses 5 through 6, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Man, can you imagine that? And yes, there's still much beauty in the earth today. There is no doubt. I mean, if you traveled even in the state of Wisconsin, you see the beauty that is out there. even where we're at here in Manitowoc, the sun rises, the sun sets, the beauty of nature. I mean, just watching an eagle flying around. I mean, when I first came up here, we didn't see them. I didn't see any eagles in Manitowoc. Now we see them. It's amazing, the beauty. And yet it's all tainted by sin. But in the kingdom age, everything's going to be restored. In fact, first of all, man's going to be changed. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more wars. Righteousness will fill the land. Not only is man changed, we're gathering together to worship the Lord, but animals are going to be changed. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that amazing? We see all these animals together that today don't get along. But in the kingdom age, they will. There's this harmony. We can walk with lions and tigers and bears and not be their meal. So that's kind of cool. I look forward to that. And even the landscape's going to be changed. We see it in Isaiah 35, 1 through 2. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. So righteousness will flow throughout this land in the kingdom age as Jesus rules and reigns, and we're going to reign with him. You see, the sacrifice that Jesus made, he tasted death, has not only saved us, but all of creation is going to be restored in the kingdom age. Look at verse 10 here in Hebrews chapter 2. We're told this, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Again, Paul is writing to Jewish believers who are struggling with their faith, being drawn back to the Jewish laws, drifting back to Judaism, to law away from grace. And Paul opens up Hebrews 2:10 by saying, for it was fitting for him. And the idea here is that it was fitting for him to suffer a horrible and detestable death on a cross for us. In fact, Deuteronomy 21:23 says, he who is hanged is accursed of God. So for the Jew, they can't even imagine that they're Messiah would die on a cross. They were looking for a reigning king, not a suffering servant. And yet Paul said in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus gave up his glory to become a man. He paid the price for sinful man so that he could redeem us from our sin. And he became accursed of God as the sins of the world were placed on him as he hung on that cross. And look at how this plays out. In Hebrews 2:10, Paul says that Jesus did this to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Or really translated better, is to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That word captain or author literally means a pioneer or one who opens the way for others to follow. And isn't that what Jesus has done for us? He made the way for us to follow so we can enter into eternal life with him. Absolutely. It all boils down to this. God became flesh. He dwelt among us, became a man, little lower than the angels, in order to die for our sins, to bring us to salvation. He was born to die. You know, Paul in Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You want to get paid? This is what you get paid. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. You know, I'm sure many of you know Isaiah 53. It's a picture of the suffering servant, a picture of Jesus paying for our sins as they're laid upon him. But in Isaiah 53:10, listen to what we're told. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Why did it please the Father to bruise or literally crush the Son, to crush Jesus, in order to bring many sons to glory, to save us? It's what was needed. You see, God could have saved us any way that he wanted, but God showed his love for us in his sacrifice. And God could not sacrifice himself unless he applied humanity to his deity and suffered on our behalf. You know, he emptied himself of some of his godly attributes. Didn't make him less God. He was still in the incarnation, 100% God, 100% man in the incarnation. He did that for us. And, you know, he loves us more than we will ever know. And I think sometimes we're upset because, you know, people are against us. This is going bad. There is someone who loves you more than you will ever know, and that's Jesus. He loves you so much, he died for you. You know, Paul struggled with that. He said in 2 Timothy, you know, in my first appearing before the court, no one stood with me. Everyone was gone except Jesus. And that's the perspective we need to have. Because we'll go through times where people will come and go, and we'll feel all alone. But Jesus is always with us. Never forget that. Look at verse 14 here in Hebrews 2. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. You know, way back when President Clinton was in office, there was this cartoon in a newspaper that showed President Clinton bidding farewell to U.S. troops as they were leaving for Bosnia. And he said to them, you know, don't do anything I wouldn't do. And in the cartoon, one of the soldiers replied back, we already are. That's not the case with Jesus. He became flesh and blood. He became man and dwelt among us. He understands exactly what we're going through, the pain, the suffering that we feel, he's felt. And he tells us Jesus came that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, I thought God only had the power of life and death. Does the devil? No. God alone has the power of life and death. You just have to read the first chapter of Job. Satan couldn't do anything unless God allowed it. So what's this about? Satan destroys people's lives. The thief has come to destroy and kill, but Jesus has come to give abundantly. But God will not anyone to come to him. That is a choice individual has to make. Now, you could choose to follow, but believe me, that's a huge mistake. And just by rejecting Jesus, well, the only other option is that you're following Satan, even if you deny that. There's only two options. It's either Jesus or wants to give life. And he does everything possible to lead you down that path. But you have Satan destroys lives. Jesus gives life. In fact, because of what Jesus Christ has done, the sting of death is taken away. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 and 57. Oh, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is removed. What do you mean? We still die? Well, the Bible, when it speaks of Christians dying, it says they go to sleep. In other words, they're just moving. We're moving from this tent that's failing, that's falling apart, to a mansion that God is giving us, a new body for our spirit and soul to dwell in. I like that. You know, one day this body is going to be resurrected, and it's going to be a new body. There won't be any more pain or suffering or aches and pains. You know, it's amazing. You don't think much about it when you're younger, but as you get older, wow, it's amazing what can hurt on your body. I never knew those parts of your body could hurt, but they can. And it's just the way it is. These bodies are just tents. And if you ever have done a lot of camping, what happens to tents? Well, the zipper wears out, right? You get holes in the tent. Yeah, that's the spotty. That's what happens to it. And so when this body goes back to the dust of the earth, we go right up to be with the Lord. It's instantaneous. No more brainwaves. Boom. You're with the Lord. So it's not really death. It's life. And that abundant life that Jesus gives us starts here and now, and it continues on for eternity as we go to be with Him. I'm so thankful that I don't have to live in this body forever. I really think that's why God put that cherubim with the flaming sword at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. Because if they would have eaten of the tree of life, would they have lived forever in these bodies of flesh? I think so. I mean, it wasn't to keep the devil out. It was to keep man from entering back into the garden. And God is... Jesus said, I've got to prepare a place for you, right? He said, it's a mansion. Think about it. For almost 2,000 years, he's been working on it. Can you imagine what this thing's going to look like? I can't wait. You know, I've told you this before, but from what I understand as I'm reading in the Hebrew and the Greek, the average height in heaven is 5'6". So I'm right there. Some of you guys are not, but I don't know what it's going to be. But I know it's going to be perfect. And just think, the marriage supper of the Lamb, I will not have to give myself a bolus of insulin. Awesome. Another pie. Bring it over. Right? I don't know. Paul also says here that he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Well, what about us? What about Gentiles? Well, again, Paul's writing to Jewish believers. That's his focus, so don't lose sight of that. But aren't we of the seed of Abraham by the new birth? Everyone be adopted into that? Yeah. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There you go. Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You know, salvation was never limited to the Jewish people. God used the Jewish people from which the Messiah would come. He's given us so much through the Jewish people, and we'll talk about that in a minute, I think. But we are grafted in now as Gentiles. We're not Jews in the strictest sense, okay? God is going to deal with the Jewish people again. He's got to fulfill the 70th week of Daniel, and the Messiah has to sit on the throne of David, something that God has promised to the Jewish people. It hasn't happened. There's still a seven-year period of time that God is going to deal with them. So we're not Jews in that aspect. And, you know, Paul deals heavily with that in Romans, right? Spends three chapters talking about salvation of the Jewish people, something that was dear to Paul's heart, but it wasn't happening. In fact, blinders have come upon the Jews, and God is using Gentiles to make the Jews jealous of our relationship with God. And I think it's very much like Stephen having his relationship with Jesus, and that's exactly what Paul wanted. And it just ate at him. And he was so mad that he's persecuting Christians now to silence them until he got saved. So, interesting. But look at verse 17. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. This kind of is just putting the nail in the coffin in regard to Jesus being superior over the angels. Angels never became flesh and blood. They never were descendants of Adam and Abraham. They couldn't die for our sins and save us from our sins. They're just ministering spirits, as Paul has said. And they could never sympathize with our temptations because they were not human. They couldn't understand what we're going through. How can God? Because God became flesh and blood, and he knows exactly what we're going through. Paul in Hebrews 4:15 said, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." See, Jesus was tempted just as we are. The difference is he's without sin. But he felt the pain, the sorrow, the temptations, the pulls of this world. He experienced these things, and because of that, he knows exactly what we're going through because he's been there. I know we all go through really difficult times in our Christian walk, struggles, all kinds of things. And we may even feel that no one understands what we're going through. And you're wrong, because Jesus does. He's been there. He understands that. And he can give us the comfort we need. In fact, Jesus knows it more than we will ever know. And the reason being is he never felt a temptation. So he experienced the full degree of the temptation. We fall prey to it. We're tempted and we sin. Jesus never did. So we can boldly go before the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So wherever you're at this evening, I don't know where you're at. I don't know any of you are struggling with anything. I'll tell you this. Go before the throne of his grace. Lay it at his feet. And then thank him and get up and leave it there. Don't take it back with you. We like to do that. Here it is, Lord. Take that back now. No, just leave it there. Leave it in his hands. Trust in him. And that's a hard one. Because, you know, we're emotional people. We have feelings. And, you know, these things, they eat at our emotions, right? They mess with our mind. We can't sleep. Yet Paul told us that we are to, with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, lay your request before God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. What is the heart? Emotion. And your minds, oh, your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And then Paul lists a bunch of things that we are to meditate upon. Why? Because CNN is not going to give you peace of mind. Meditate on things that are going to help you, encourage you, strengthen you, build you up in the faith. I think that's really, really important for us. Bring it to him, release it to him, and just rest in the fact that he's going to take care of it. So we've seen in our study the superiority of Jesus over the prophets in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then from chapter 1, verse 4, on through really chapter 2, the superiority of Jesus over angels. Next time, we're going to look at Moses, the lawgiver, the heavy hitter. You see what Paul's doing? He's hitting the Jews where it really hurts. These are the guys they lifted up. And yet, Paul wants to remind them, as great as they were, Jesus is superior. Never forget that. I think we need to be able to do that too. Look at all the things that are going on in the world. Jesus is aware. He's handling it. Don't lose sleep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening and just helping us to get refocused, because it's easy, Lord, to start drifting away, to be complacent and not anchoring our life the way we should in you. And Lord, I just pray for any that might be struggling this evening, that Lord, that they would just return and just fall in love with you over and over again, and just see that joy, that love that will return to their hearts and their lives. Help us all to be anchored in you, Lord. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.